So, you guys want to hear some stories? You ready for this? So let's kick the night off with the regular of this show, a really, really great storyteller, noted DM in the Chicago scene, also a show producer, soon to be podcaster, and he might be sleeping with somebody up on stage. I won't say which one. Please welcome Logan Dean. Katie would have said it if I didn't. So.
Hi. Hey. How's it going? Good. Great. 22 months ago, my friend Brad kind of half-jokingly asked me if I wanted to get in his car and drive to Los Angeles in 2 days' time. And originally I said no, and then 6 hours later, out of your stories, I said yes. Because I didn't think I had enough adventure in my life. So what follows is a loose list of occurrences that happened on the way to from Chicago to Los Angeles, sponsored by Expedia.com. So we left Chicago at 9:30 p.m. to drive to St. Louis in the middle of January, end of January, and almost died 15 times just on the way to St. Louis. The only thing that saved us was a bottle of Mexican Coke that I bought at Mariano's to keep Brad awake on that last hour stretch into St. Louis. We did not have anywhere to stay, so I booked a hotel on Expedia.com, which would become a running theme for the next 5 days. We got to St. Louis and crashed out really hard in the nicest Hyatt hotel room I've ever seen for $80. It was crazy. And then we left St. Louis and got barbecue and then drove to Merrimack Caverns, which are just a cavern attraction that was under construction. I did not know caverns could be under construction, but this one was. So we got to hang out in the gift shop of Merrimack Caverns, and then Brad snuck into Merrimack Caverns, and I lost him, and I got freaked out for a little bit. Side caveat note, I don't have a driver's license. That's kind of a big deal. So I am literally just in this trip to sit next to Brad to make sure he doesn't die. Which almost happened a few more times. So on the way from Merrimack Caverns, I booked a campground outside of Oklahoma City at a KOA, Campgrounds of America. Don't stay at KOAs. They're garbage. Find a private campsite. This one was terrible. We got to the KOA in the middle of the night. I dropped the deposit in the door, and then we set up our tent. And there was someone listening to metal music, two campsites away, really loudly, and proceeded to listen to it all night long. I think that guy might have been dead. Because neither of us slept, because all we heard all night was, Megadeth. From the campground in Oklahoma City, we got up and left and went and got breakfast, and then we went to a pawn shop in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is kind of what I imagine one of the sprawl cities from Judge Dredd to be like. It's just all freeway. And then we ate at Oklahoma City's third highest rated restaurant on Yelp, a Whole Foods. And then hauled ass to Albuquerque because we had booked a show that night. So we got to Albuquerque at 9 p.m. and parked down the street from the hotel, or from the show. And Brad did a bunch of bizarre sketches that had a lot to do with Satanism and the occult. Which I thought were hilarious. And then they asked me if I wanted to do a set. We did not know how high in elevation Albuquerque, New Mexico is, and proceeded to drink 2 bottles of wine each before we went on stage. I don't remember this set at all. I just remember that the stage was a porch, and I got a lot of novelty out of it being a porch. I think I asked for a sweet tea at some point. Then we had made a plan for the next day to drive from Albuquerque, New Mexico to the Grand Canyon. I had never seen the Grand Canyon. Brad had never seen the Grand Canyon. We were going way out of our way to Los Angeles to see the Grand Canyon. So we raced a snowstorm to the Grand Canyon. And on the way, I really had to go to the bathroom after stopping at a truck stop to go to the bathroom and not going to the bathroom. The only place to go was a place that we had seen advertised for the last couple days called Knife City. Knife City is a stout brick building in the middle of the desert full of knives. And it is run by the two sweetest old ladies I've ever met. And they wouldn't let me use the bathroom without buying something. So if we go, if we fast forward to the end of the trip, I'm going to LA and then flying immediately back. I can't buy a knife at Knife City because I'll never get it on the plane. So I bought a beer koozie, a leather beer koozie. And I went to the bathroom, and across from me was a full suit of armor, which is intimidating. Also, they gave me the key to the bathroom, and it was attached to a tanto, which is a small samurai sword, and the bathroom was unlocked. So I don't... So I get to the car, I look at the beer koozie. It's a leather beer koozie. It says... It's got an outline of the state of Arizona, and it says, Arizona, we don't call 911. It's got a gun coming out. It's my favorite thing in the world. Because, like, what happens if somebody gets sick? So we race this snowstorm to the Grand Canyon. We get there right before the park closes at sundown, and this snowstorm comes in and takes the Grand Canyon away from us. We're standing there and looking at this void of white. It's incredible. But we also have quickly realized that we're not going to be able to get out of the little Grand Canyon town before this snowstorm blocks us in. So I book a Best Western off of Expedia.com. And it's... Also, like, the nicest Best Western I've ever seen. It's really great. But they make you buy a pass when you go to any of the national parks that's good for a few days. So the next morning we woke up and we decided to go back to the Grand Canyon and see it with all this fresh snow on it. And it was one of the most magical experiences I've ever had. Because we drove a little bit up past the main tourist area and there's no railing. You can just kind of hang out and see the majesty. And if you look down, the snow didn't even get to the bottom. Like, it's still summer down there. And it was incredible. And then Brad proceeded to almost fall into it four or five times. To which I yelled, Bradley! And he would stop and look at me like I was his mom. So then we just hauled ass to L.A. the rest of the time. We got to L.A. really late, and I crashed on his floor. And we woke up the next morning, and he took me to see the Pacific. And I stood in the Pacific and kind of, like, gazed out at the end of this journey that we had just gotten together and saw, I think it's like when the settlers finally got all the way to the West Coast and they saw the expanse of the ocean, they just realized, okay, well, not going to cross that. It was like that majesty, like, filled me up. And then I got on my plane and I listened to Andrew Bird's Hands of Glory the whole time on the flight back and just kind of, like, cried because I realized, like, I had finally found that adventure I was looking for. Thanks.
Aww. Thank you, Logan. Logan Dean, everybody. It's a really morbid tag to that story, but I was at the Grand Canyon about a year ago, too, and I Googled, because I was curious, because, yeah, it's weird to me that they don't have a railing. How many people have actually fallen into the Grand Canyon? It's not nearly as many as you think, but for sure the most tragic story is, why am I saying this right now? But it's, you know, that kind of ironic Alanis Morissette sings about, where it was a dad trying to pretend for his family like he was going to fall, and he was, like, doing acrobatics on the ledge, and he slipped and fell. So, hey, if you're a dad or anybody, don't do that shit. Just respect the canyon. It will kill you.